comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Now, here are the nerds.
Indeed. Here from the Allo Communications Studios, you're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We've got three of the studliest co-hosts in all the land. Micah Kilpatrick behind the glass, Scott Magerflesh to my right, and I am Nick Kenny.
Darth Monger. Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
And it wasn't in that order, but that's right. You get a sense of who we all are.
I was feeling very lazy and decided to press the one button that has all three.
Instead of the one. See, I like how efficient you are, Micah. You've done good.
Very efficient.
Gosh, there's lots to talk about on today's Nerd Show. It just always seems, one, there's not enough time to talk about it all, and two, there's just so much stuff that came out this past week, not just what we've been reviewing lately, She-Hulk, The Rings of Power, and House of the Dragon, but also a lot of fantastic releases from what's it called,
D23? D23.
Mm-hmm. What does that stand for?
Disney 23, I think.
What's 23?
I'm guessing 2023, because they're
previewing. No, it's always D23, so it is. Oh, okay. It is an event that they do every year, and it's always called D23, and it is kind of the annual announcement of everything that's coming from Disney, and as we've seen them with the accumulation of Lucasfilm and Marvel, that has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. But yeah.
23 times bigger.
Maybe. Could be.
We don't know any other, unless there's 23 Ds that we don't know what they stand for.
Well, right now, some of their stuff that they're putting out is the D.
D quality. Well, while we're on the Disney train, you want to hype up some of the releases that we saw? I have to confess, I just saw the teaser trailer for Mando Season 3, and that was actually a pretty substantial trailer that they released.
Yeah, it was good. We saw some familiar characters. I love that we're going to start to get into the whole Bo-Katan, Din Djarin little element that we've got about the Darksaber. So that's going to come out. Then you've got the whole exploration of Din having to go back to Mandalore and maybe try and reclaim his title as Mandalorian, as the armorer puts it, and then Bo disagreeing with that, and it's like your cult has been a part of the problem. So
I hope that, you know, for any Dumb and Dumber fans out there, that you know, Mando goes to Mandalore and Bo-Katan just, you know, basically says, and totally redeem yourself. Maybe not Bo-Katan, or maybe it's the armorer that would have to totally redeem Mando. But what a trailer. There's some modifications we had to the Starfighter, so Grogu is actually riding on Mando's lap, which I can't imagine is very comfortable for some of those long hyperspace
but
journeys.
But he's like, you know, the size of Ducky, my little chihuahua. It's not like he's gigantic sitting on his lap.
When you're sitting in one position, it's not like you can stretch out or cross your legs or move over. I mean, that's just got to be like dead 3-pound weight. It's like riding with a bowling ball with floppy ears that's trying to eat things the entire time.
Maybe, but
I thought it was a terrible description. I could have just said like a chihuahua that's trying to eat things the entire time, because that's more what Grogu does anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
Not much to really lean on, but what I'm most excited about this is we're starting to see with Mando the true development and the reconfiguration of the First Order, from the Empire to the First Order. We get a glimpse of all those Star Destroyers, you know, which was reminiscent of Episode 9, you know. So it's interesting how you have those factions of the Empire, but we're going to start seeing just the micro-creations of the First Order and how it's rising. I don't know how much they're going to get into that, but, you know, to me, well, Stormtrooper and you too, Scott. That's kind of exciting to see all those factions and which are going to break off and kind of disappear into the darkness for, what, another 20 years or so, 15, 20 years, while still maintaining that that conflict from the Empire and the New Republic.
Well, and even jumping into the other big show that's coming out here at the end of the month with Andor, we saw snippets of that where you've got the new Stormtroopers, well, new post Clone War, but you still see clones and you still see the clone armor. And so I thought that was really interesting that we were seeing both even in that. So we are starting to see some work on the evolution and how those things are being blended and they're transitioning from one to the other. So I think it's they're doing a great job and there's so much stuff going on. We saw, you know, sticking on the Star Wars side, you've got the the Jedi. There's an animated series coming out and I'm blanking at it right at the moment, but it's talking about like the Jedi trials or something like that. They talked about that. And then they've also got Ahsoka. We heard the announcement of they've cast Ezra.
That's fantastic. And he looks to be more adult-like than when we last saw Ezra in the finale of Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Now, when they're doing a lot of world building, with the Mandalorian, with Andor, with the Ahsoka series that we're excited to have. Well, I say we. I know I am. I hope you guys are too.
Oh yeah.
Is that enough to kind of placate the average fan for Star Wars? Not just what they've had for the movies, from the original trilogy to the sequels to the prequels, prequels to the sequels. Is this enough, I would say, damage control for those who aren't as fanatic as we are?
I don't know if I would call it damage control. I just think that we saw a downturn a little bit in quality in some of the different areas, both from a Lucasfilm and from a Marvel perspective and some of the content that's being put out.
Oh, definitely with a Marvel perspective.
I knew Micah would chime in there.
There are some Marvel announcements that we can go over, but I think this, a lot of this Star Wars stuff is kind of underground and people have to watch some of the series to know who Ahsoka is. Because if you just watch the movies, you're going to go, who?
I agree with you if you want to get into the deep depths of that. But I would say that they have done a good job in The Mandalorian, especially so far, of introducing you to a new character that you don't have to go back and read all the history on. You would for Thrawn, if you really wanted to understand that. But even there, you can tell this is somebody that she is searching for, she's looking for, and it's a new name. And for the fans that have been watching and enjoying it, whether you talk about the original stuff that was written by Timothy Zahn back in the late 80s and early 90s and even beyond that, or they've kind of, you know, rebooted Thrawn in a 30 years earlier kind of scenario, I think they're still doing a good job of building that in that regard so that as a casual fan, you're not lost because you don't understand anything that's going on. And as a really big diehard fan, you get the nuances.
I think if you are a casual-ish fan just of the movies, you're not going to get into this stuff. If you're a casual fan who wants to know more, yeah, you're going to get into it and you're not going to be too
lost.
And I think what they're doing right now is good. I'm not so hot on what Marvel is doing. And their next thing that's coming out, they just released a trailer for, being directed, fun fact, by composer Michael Giacchino.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
He's a composer, which this means no offense to composers, but musicians are an interesting breed, and I'm really curious what he's going to bring to the table as a director. Now, question, Micah, is he also doing the music?
I'm guessing.
I hope
so. It's a horror special, so it's a one-hour horror special that's going to debut on Disney Plus October 7th. So it's definitely something, since it's October, we've got a review for Halloween. They also talked about the Thunderbolts lineup. Yep. So
that looks pretty good. I like the cast that they have there. Mm-hmm. But maybe to Micah, there's not a lot there of interest for me for those characters. It's a lot of sidelined characters, but I'm curious how they're all going to work together.
Well, this is what Marvel Phase 4 is right now, a bunch of sidelined characters.
Is this 4 or 5? I'm confused.
This is Phase 4. I think the Avengers begins Phase 5. Also in Phase 4, I believe, is Secret Invasion, which comes out next year. They just released a trailer, which looks awesome. Right now, other than Black Panther, this is the only thing I'm really excited about. This is Samuel Jackson, aliens infiltrating everywhere and kind of taking over the world. I'm kind of excited about that. They also mentioned
Nick Fury at his finest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. They also mentioned Ironheart, who's going to have a major Marvel villain in it. Ironheart is kind of the Iron Man number two. So she's going to have Iron Man's armor, and she's a super smart teenage girl. And they introduced an Israeli superhero. To me, the stuff that Marvel introduced is okay compared to what Star Wars introduced. I think Star Wars right now is really going to take off compared to Marvel.
Well, they have a lot of work to do to be marvelous, I think. Moving up.
Yes, grade A dad joke.
Can we get a little, not necessarily the nerd show stamp of approval, but at least whenever one of us
nerd
comes
show
with a
stamp of approval
for dad jokes, just something a little more subtle, just like maybe a Pee Wee Herman laugh, like the ha-ha.
Maybe so, I don't know. But I will say from a Marvel perspective, I'm just really hoping that they don't mess up Daredevil.
Oh, they better not.
I know, and they've got Charlie Cox, and they've got Vincent D'Onofrio back, and so don't mess that up, because that was such an amazing series when Netflix had it, and I hope that they stick to it.
Wow. So there's a lot more we can dissect there. We might get into it at each week as we move forward with the Nerd Show, but stay tuned. We'll be back with She-Hulk, House of the Dragon, that Lord of the Rings show. Whatever. We'll be back soon.
The Power of the Rings.
Rings of Power.
The Rings of Power.
There we go. We'll be back, we'll know what we're talking about, I think, when we come back after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. I think that's what it is. Scott's shaking his head. We don't really know.
No, just because I was thinking about all the stuff we didn't even talk about in the last segment, just from the Marvel perspective.
Oh, yeah. We can.
I mean, we had stuff, Werewolf by Night. We talked briefly about that. We talked about, Echo, which is the follow-up to the Hawkeye series, which is supposed to come out as well. You've got Fantastic Four. We heard about the new director change, so that's going to happen. There is so much going on. The new Captain America movie. I'm actually really excited for that.
It's going to be a movie. I'm kind of glad it is, too. I think that's going to be a good step for Sam's character to have a full feature film.
And I like the actor. The actor is very funny.
Sam is fantastic, and I love
that.
As
long as they focus more on him, and I think that he and the Winter Soldier should do more getting along rather than bickering. Yeah. It's time for them to get along.
Bickering because they were both Cap's best friends in different eras.
And different timelines. Well, not timelines, but different parts of his life. And then finally you get the Marvels. That's coming out, and Brie Larson helped to introduce that. And so that's kind of cool. That could be interesting. I just hope Ms. Marvel wasn't a introduction of what we're going to see in that regard. But
I still haven't finished that and don't know if I will.
I'm not sure that you need to.
No more family drama.
Leave your drama with your mama, apparently on the screen for Marvel.
Yeah. Yes.
So
There's so much happening.
And it was Tales of the Jedi. That's what I was trying to – that was what I was scrambling for earlier, is the animated series that is going to – it's a six shorts that they're doing. But – once again, they're focusing on like Ahsoka and Anakin, and maybe they're doing that to help build some more of the world that Ahsoka we're going to be a part of once her series drops. But
Scott, do you find it strange, even now with, I don't want to say any retconning, but with everything they've added filler-wise with Star Wars, that even in a feature film with Star Wars, we haven't had any reference to Anakin having a Padawan?
Well, I mean, you think about it, we would literally have to get later, we'd have to go in between, episode 2 and 3. And so that's where that would have to happen.
But even in the Obi-Wan series, we didn't get any reference of Obi-Wan to Vader referencing Ahsoka. Not that it would have, but to me, it seems in all the live action stuff up until this point, except for us seeing Ahsoka, there's been little to zero references that Anakin ever had a Padawan.
Yeah, and maybe we're going to get into that in some other element, and they want to keep that combined, because again, nobody really knows about that unless you've watched Clone Wars or you watched Rebels or you've seen, you know, you went and watched the Clone Wars animated movie, which we did.
We did.
In kit, in costume.
You know.
Paid by Lucasfilm. Did I just drop that? I did.
One of the tipping points for Anakin, he was trying to manipulate the council to become, not just a Jedi Knight, but a Jedi Master.
Yeah.
Well, he went out and bought all this ridiculously good food and had it catered, but his MasterCard was declined.
I just don't know. Sometimes the amount of
work
that you do.
I wanted to make an Ahsoka joke.
Yeah, you need like a wah, wah, wah.
That was a swing really and a miss.
That was,
you know, you have to have the bad ones for the good ones to sink.
I get that, but
there we go.
Yeah, that just, I feel like that you went a long way to get there.
Price is wrong.
It was like you kept teasing us. I can't believe they didn't talk about Anakin as a master. I was like, you need to hold a sign up next time and go with me on this. I'm leading up to a
there
dad
we go.
Joke.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
You know, we're just trying to, I don't know.
We're just trying to keep ourselves entertained and hopefully.
You too.
Everybody else, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the Rings of Power.
Oh, gosh. You know, I like this one a lot. They answered quite a bit of questions that I had internally. But, actually, I did really like this episode. I'm trying to remember when I watched that, when I watched House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
But Rings of Power hat. It was a little graphic. We're talking on the elf front, you know, our elf friend got taken captive by the orcs.
That's not graphic.
Yeah.
It wasn't that graphic compared to what we've had in the past with House of the Dragon. But for Lord of the Rings, it was pretty,
assassination
of an elf right in front of everyone digging those ditches.
Yeah, but even that was, I was like, wait, what did he do to him? And you see him swing the sword, and then all of a sudden there's this tiny line of red that shows up on his neck.
Yeah, there wasn't as much blood as
it just
been.
Was
like, oh, all my ketchup.
He falls over. And then, what I thought was way more graphic was the fight scene where the gentleman gets cornered by the four or five guys that he tried to steal the little cog from.
Yes.
So breaking
his arm?
Oh, and he broke his arm, and then he was, that was more graphic than anything I've ever seen.
I don't like that character. I have no attachment to him.
Yeah, I don't really know where he's going with that, and I
think he's just there to be related to Aragorn.
Because the Sealdor is related to Aragorn, and same with Elendil. This guy is
he's just there to be related to somebody from the movie.
But there's something else going on, because I think the way he was playing it off, and he's like, please don't push me, don't do this, and then the way he went from trying to be a jokester and passive to beating the living daylights out of all five of those guys in no way, shape, or form was he going to get taken down. I think there's more to his story than we've seen. And that there's something going to come that he either has, he's maybe half man, half elf, or what? I don't know. There's something about his actions and the way he fought in that sequence that went, okay, this is not a normal man as we've become made aware of and come to see men in Middle Earth.
What they did was they asked the showrunners of Game of Thrones, hey, how can we make this over the top? And they were like, just make them jump like 45 feet in the air like we did with Arya Stark. And he was like, yes, we'll make them superhuman.
Nah.
I there's some rumors floating or some hints. You know, he's got royalty and lineage in the Southlands. We don't have the Rings of Power forged yet, but we know Celebrimbor is working on that, and that eventually Sauron manipulates him and corrupts them. So all the humans get corrupted, nine. So since the guy does have royalty in the Southlands, there's might be a chance that he becomes a king and then inherits one of those Rings of Power and becomes one of the nine Ringwraiths, if not the Witch King of Angmar. So that's just kind of where we are in the timeline of this area, and he's shown he's not one to be crossed.
Yeah, he's not one to be trifled with.
Exactly. Now, I love the Elendil, because if you remember in Lord of the Rings, Galadriel gives, and I love the name for it, a friend of the elves, and something about the Numenor is, I like that story development there. I love that that Sauron's insignia wasn't an insignia. It was a map
of
Mordor. I think that was pretty neat. But for the Light of Elendil, which means elf friend, she passes that on. But also Isildur is Elendil's son. So we see the inner workings of how they might make their way to Middle Earth. I still don't know how Isildur will become a king of Gondor if he's a Numenorean. So there's a lot to unfold there.
I don't know. And going back to some of the stuff that Mike has said, that you have a hard time getting involved and getting passionate about these.
None of the characters are interesting enough for me to like.
It's only been three episodes, though. When was the last time you instantly fell in love with a character from the get-go?
Game of Thrones Season 1.
Who'd you fall in love with? Sean Bean's character? He got his head locked off after a season.
Well, multiple characters. Also, House of the Dragons Season 1. I mean, the future queen, and I hope she becomes future queen. I'm trying not to read in too much of it. But, like, she is my favorite character. Maybe not after this episode, but she still is pretty awesome.
She is awesome. I think
it's taking a time. They have 22 characters they're trying to introduce. Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of story they're trying to tell.
So then, riddle me this, Batman.
Will there be one that I care about?
Yes, Alfred?
If they have 22 characters introduced, why did we have to do a 5-minute super slow-mo shot of Galadriel riding a white horse with blue eyes across the shoreline?
I don't know. That was weird of that episode. Was kind of really, is that how we're using our time for this?
It's like Jeff Bezos is like, we have so much money here, we could either reinvest it in innovation or we could invest it in this Lord of the Rings knockoff show. Invest it in Lord of the Rings knockoff show.
I'm loving it, Micah. I am really enjoying
it. I'm enjoying it, and I think the cinematography's good, and I think the story...
Cinematography's great.
...has some work to do, but I kind of feel like I'm right in between the two of you, that I'm appreciating it, but, you know, I'll be honest, I stopped and started it four different times over the course of the weekend.
My mind hasn't been blown yet.
Yeah,
and usually you have a mind-blowing moment, especially with House of the Dragon, with the original Game of Thrones, and I think they are kind of just drawing out this a little too much.
There are 8 episodes.
So they have to pick it up the last 5.
Yeah. We're almost halfway there.
We are. Well, stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be back with House of the Dragon and She-Hulk after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show here in the Allo Communications Studios. Micah, Nick, and Scott are just chatting about our impressions of Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, House of the Dragon.
I'm trying not to yell too much. I did get a little yelly in the last segment. I will try not to get too yelly.
Just yelly? A little, old yelly. Instead of old yeller, we have Micah as old yelly.
Yeah, I feel old some days. I hurt my knee a couple weeks ago. You want to know how I hurt it?
I'm sure the listeners are dying to hear, Micah.
I was trying to sit down, and now my knee has been hurting for several weeks.
Oh, gosh. You know, that's the thing. How did you get that back pain? I woke up. I rolled out of bed. I sneezed.
Yeah, that's what happens to me now.
Well, we've just finished wrapping. We barely got much into Lord of the Rings. We didn't have Elrond at all in that episode, but now House of the Dragon, that was what now? 2 years past where we last left?
Actually, just over a year.
Just over a year. Yeah, because it was 3 years the year before.
3 years, and they said 4 years.
Right. Damon got a nice haircut. He came in looking pretty svelte when he flew back to why am I blanking on the capital?
King's Landing.
King's Landing. Yes. We have a pretty interesting scene opening with Rhaenyra just entertaining all of these potential suitors that Viserys was so kind to set up for him. And gosh, she just... So we were both wrong. All three of us were wrong, actually. Yeah. She did not get married.
No. She didn't get married at all, although we now have a commitment to get married that we might see come to fruition in the next episode.
We could. But. So when's this 10-year jump supposed to happen? I thought it was supposed to happen this episode.
I did too. So I don't know. Maybe it's the next episode or the episode after that. I'm going to quit guessing because I feel like that I'm making predictions that are not coming true. So I'm going to stop in that regard at some regard.
Well, we're getting a lot of the original Game of Thrones type of storytelling. We're getting all the kind of layers piecing together. A lot did happen this episode that was kind of, well, I'll say I finally watched it so I could participate in the discussions today.
Well done, sir.
Late at night. My eyes were struggling to stay awake. We were talking on this before we took the air of... Ooh, that was a little uncomfortable. Incestuous is not anything surprising with Game of Thrones. You know, we saw some strange things over the years, over those 8 years. It was shocking to see it so quickly, and I'm having a difficult time processing Rhaenyra and Daemon's little act of intercourse in the brothel.
That didn't happen.
They did not.
It came close.
And he instigated it.
He did instigate it. And what I watched the recap and everything else. And at first I was, because, you know, I keep trying to think that Daemon is going to end up being a good guy, that deep down he's actually really a good guy. And so in the moment of that scene, and, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, Rhaenyra is trying to kiss him and he's backing away, I'm like, okay, he's gotten to a point and he realized that he can't do this, that he's not that kind of person, and he's going to back away.
I saw him playing with her.
Well, and then in the after, they're talking about no, and neither one of those are accurate. It is a show of his impotence that now comes to the forefront, and he can't perform. And that's why he walks away. It isn't because he has some...
Well, he had that in episode one,
yeah,
too.
We saw that because that came about. So that's already been introduced. But it is being brought up again that's part of the problem. And so
he needs to talk to a maester.
Does he know that's a thing? Did he set Rhaenyra up to be found?
No, I think he was trying to get out and seduce her. And I think what he was trying to do is get her out of the castle, show her a different world. It was absolutely working. And then when the moment was right and he felt like it, he decided to act on it. And she responded in kind, which I was a little bit unhappy with. But I kind of saw it coming with the older gentleman and the uncle. But then he just couldn't. He physically couldn't go through with it. He was attempting to. And he couldn't, and then got her all excited and hot and bothered, and then she goes back to the castle. And
hey, and I was wrong on that one.
Kristen Cole, we've been eyeballing each other. Let's go.
As I said last week, I'm like, girl, you go get yourself some.
Yep.
And she did. Now,
she did.
I'm okay with that because he seems like a good dude.
Again, yep.
Even though like he's breaking his vow. He seems like a good dude, and mm-hmm. they could have a good relationship. But this whole incestuous thing really makes me feel uncomfortable, especially since she's, like, really young in the story.
Well,
and I know there's a lot of that in Game of Thrones, but mm-hmm. it's just, like, I don't want to see that, especially, like, when we saw Arya Stark take off her clothes in season 8, I wasn't the only one who felt uncomfortable because we saw her grow up.
Well, and I think there's the slight difference there is, number one, we've seen Rhaenyra grow up in 4 weeks, and she really hasn't aged that much, although she has aged about 4 years. But the reality of it, we haven't seen her since she was 9 years old as a child, you know, go through all of those different episodes. But I know what you're talking about, and I have had several people that say they really had a problem with that because of that evolution of the character over the 9 seasons or 10 seasons that we watched in that, and it was difficult. This was different simply because we were used to her being making all the right decisions and doing all the things that she's supposed to, even though she's a little bit...
She's allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, she's made...
Not as a princess.
As you said, she's made some really good decisions in every episode, but in this episode, she took, like, a huge step back. And granted, she was manipulated.
She was.
But it's just, I just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just, you know, me being a little too prudish on it.
I think that there's probably a lot of that in it. And again, in the thing they talked about afterwards, how the director really tried to make that a joint effort kind of scene, you know, that scene was designed to make everybody look like they're enjoying themselves, not just the men, that the women were too, and that it was...
She did a better job than past directors had, and I think that's why they hired her because I think, I don't know her history, but maybe having a woman direct a scene with a woman needing to do this, mm-hmm. I think maybe that might have been a good idea. It wasn't making Rhaenyra look like, you know, a loose woman.
Right.
It was making her look more like
a human, an adultish woman,
mm-hmm. a human
and
being.
One coming into her own and everything else. And I thought it was very interesting to see Alicent and Rhaenyra talking afterwards in the garden. And, you know, and she's like, you know, you can't do this. You've been sullied as a maiden and all this other stuff. And I'm sitting here looking at this going, and you married the king 4 years ago and you have given him how many children? And just a, you know, and either a few, and I don't remember the timing of it. And it was like literally in a scene before the scene after, the king calls you to his bedchambers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the same scene.
Well,
like,
I mean,
they're doing,
yeah, they're kind of going like, back and forth. Yes.
He's on top of her and he's, you know, doing his thing. And she's laying there like,
she's like, I just don't want to be here. But yeah, so the conversation in the garden afterwards was very interesting because it was almost like,
well, she's projecting her.
Yeah. Very hypocritical. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult. And I love the statement that Rhaenyra says, if I was a man, this wouldn't be a problem. And he's like, you're right, but you're a woman. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to continue to be those elements that are going to build into that. And I think she even says that when I am queen, that won't be an issue.
She's going to have to marry somebody. I don't know who she marries,
but she's going to choose somebody.
Hopefully.
No, she's not even allowed to choose. Viserys.
Yeah, well, yeah, Viserys has commanded her as king that, you know, has to.
So what happens at
that
point?
Well, I heard, I think this guy, I forget who it is.
Well, it's Lord Cordis's son.
Yes. I don't remember his name. I think he's going to be easily manipulatable. So we're going to see, and I think the older version of her is in this episode. So I think we're going to see her. We're going to see her with more power. But the question is, at what point do we see a split in the kingdom? At what point do we see her no longer the heir?
Viserys is—he's starting to lose it, but he's starting to finally behave kingly. I mean, he caught on to what the
what Hightower was doing, yeah. Otto. Yeah,
what the hand of the king was that the hand?
Yeah, that's king's hand. Yep,
and he gets slapped down in this episode.
Well, he gets removed of his powers.
Mm-hmm. He is still pulling strings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He is.
He's not. He's not like Littlefinger and, you know, the other guy, whatever his name is, the bald dude. In Game of Thrones,
yeah.
He's not as creepy and weird.
He's not as creepy, but I think he's just as manipulative, and he is just as devious. And you know, Viserys is seeing it when he's like, you brought your daughter into my bedchamber to seduce me, and you know, are you so? I can't remember exactly what, but it was something along the lines of, are you so eager to get your own blood on the throne that you would do these kind of things? And, you know, Hightower's playing the innocent, but in reality, I think he is. I mean,
he's got spies everywhere waiting for Rhaenyra to mess up so she can be ousted as the heir. But I thought that was pretty bold of Viserys to not even give him a warning or anything, but just completely strip him from the hand of the king. So it's interesting to see, what's he going to do afterwards? What's he going to start manipulating beyond this that's not going to be as subtle?
And who's he going to manipulate?
Also, we want to talk about Rhaenyra being able to manage the situation. Viserys does that because that's what Rhaenyra tells him to do. Said, I will marry him, but you need to do your kingly duty. And then the next scene we see is Viserys firing the king's hand for no other. So Rhaenyra makes that happen as well.
I still like her. She's still my favorite character. I'm still kind of Luke. Damon has lost a little bit in my book.
I've never liked him.
But
yeah. I don't think we're supposed to.
I think he's going to redeem himself. This is, after all, the Game of Thrones universe. So he's going to redeem himself somewhat.
Who redeems themselves ever in the Game of Thrones?
Everybody. Every good character redeems themselves.
Every good character.
Jamie Lannister did.
He was like one of the few who redeemed himself from Game of Thrones.
They all redeemed themselves.
Cersei?
That you feel
Tyrion, we always rooted for her from the get go.
Well, you feel some sympathy for her at some point.
Yeah, no, right. I think that's a stretch. I don't like Damon, and I still don't like Damon. But we'll see. I'm open minded to see what happens.
The actor's great, though.
Oh, he is. He really represents that character well. Stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We'll be back after this break. You are listening to The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. So we just got done discussing House of the Dragon, the latest episode, and now we pivot to She-Hulk. That's a roller coaster of a show for me.
I'm still struggling with the fourth wall. Had it again and even more. I think this episode had more screen time where she broke the fourth wall than any of the other ones, and I'm just stopping already.
What are the theories of why they're doing that? I don't think they're trying to make it like Deadpool. It's completely different. To me, it takes me completely out of the show. It's not funny. It's not entertaining. I don't get it. I don't think it serves a purpose whatsoever in this show.
I think this is their version of college where they just experiment a lot. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't serve a purpose. It's not fun. I have not laughed out loud. There were times during Ms. Marvel where I did have a giggle because there were some jokes that landed. This show hasn't really landed too many jokes.
It's not meant to land jokes. I don't think any of them are.
I think
it's. But you know, for me, as I'm trying to dig in and be more critical and unbiased as possible when we're reviewing things, but me especially, is, well, how does this make sense in the show? You know, the cinematography, the kind of the direction and the character development, you know, usually there's a lot of, you know, arcs that you can follow, but I just can't really follow this one. I'm really struggling. And it's taken me out of the show.
Yeah. Well, and some of the stuff is a little bit, I don't know, it's just odd. You had literally three little mini story arcs going simultaneously. You had the little, you know, Wong's issue where, you know, now you've got Johnny Blaze, and I've been reading online, and apparently that is the name of the second Ghost Rider. So it's like, okay, is there an element there? So that could be happening. And then you've got this whole goofy, you know, interdimensional battle that she's got to help Wong with. Really? That's who he goes to help her with this, to help him with this. His attorney.
Where's everyone at Kamertage?
I know. It's like that. And then you've got this whole, I'm going to start dating. And so you've got the She-Hulk on Tinder kind of thing. And I felt like that got played really inappropriately at the end when, you know, she literally picks the guy up after she's like so enthralled with this guy who's got these feelings and blah, blah, blah. And obviously they sleep together. And then the next morning, the dude's like, who are you? Yeah, I'm going to go. And now I'm hoping that there's another aspect to that guy's story that, you know, he was part of the group that's trying to get her DNA or something like that. But I'm just like, you know, that was really demeaning and demoralizing. And then you've got this whole really drunk Madison with two N's and one Y, and it's not where you think it is throughout the course of the episode. And it was like, okay.
Everybody, there was a line in there, everybody likes Wong. Not anymore. I don't like Wong anymore. Right? Their use of him is stupid. That Madison character is stupid. It was kind of interesting to see the guy with his little magic powers, the power wannabe guy.
Mm-hmm.
They should have focused completely on him and that story, left the Madison out, left the dating thing out. This feels too sitcom-y to me.
It's campy. It doesn't feel like it's serious. That's what I'm thinking. It doesn't feel serious to me, and it's Marvel. You think where S.H.I.E.L.D.'s coming down and cracking down on all these superheroes from phase 1, 2, 3, you know, let's look at Civil War and what, you know, the whole world was about to do to superheroes. Granted, that was like Hydra, but still. You're letting somebody access multi-dimensions, and it just turns into a little court battle and a little pointing fingers. I mean, we've seen what happens in Loki and what catastrophes could transpire if anything along this timeline gets wonky. Wonky? Ah, that was a bad.
No, that was the She-Hulk of jokes.
I don't feel like this is the same MCU that gave us Loki, that gave us WandaVision, that gave us the Avengers. I just don't feel it.
I think that once again, this is their experimental phase. They're having a little bit of fun. They're throwing some ideas up against the wall and seeing if they stick.
It's like Jell-O, yeah.
Yeah, and they're missing the dartboard, and I think they're hitting some people in the bar.
I'm curious who up at Disney is overseeing this and okay with some of the product that's gone out. Maybe I'm off. Maybe we might all be off with what the fans are really enjoying, but I'm just not invested. I think DC has an opportunity here to kind of come in and put together a couple of quality shows or movies and could have Marvel kind of, I don't want to say scrambling, but not much of what's been released has truly excited me to you know, like it had been in the first three or four phases.
Maybe we've been way too hard on Discovery Warner Brothers. Maybe we've been too hard on them. Maybe the moves that they've been making, the sudden bam, 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 cut everything, is purposeful, is them saying, we're cutting the fat and we are doing all the legit stuff. Because they are now thinking that they can go up against Marvel. And if they can, good for them, because that forces Marvel to take things seriously and do less of the, oh, we're going to throw some magic-y weird stuff out there.
Scott, what predictions do you have for the last, I don't know, half or so of She-Hulk?
I don't have any. I literally, I think the buildup is going to be all about Tatiana. We didn't even talk about trademarking the She-Hulk name, and that's going to turn into a court battle? I don't know. I just...
Did a lawyer sue them? Did a lawyer sue them and say, we need more lawyer stuff?
I don't know.
And then Disney was like, you know what? I don't want to lose millions of dollars, so we'll put a lawyer thing in there.
I think that when we have lawyers in the MCU, it should be more Daredevil, you know?
Yeah.
How do you do that? I'm really good at my job. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you use a lawyer MCU.
We're not saying that she's not good at her job. She's good at her job. It's just make this more serious. Make her more serious. Make her less of a goofball.
This show is goofy. The show has turned campy. And it's hard to take any of her seriously.
Mm-hmm. They should make her
Can you look at the camera when you say that, Scott, to break the fourth wall? We don't have a camera in here, but we're going to start doing that more often.
They should make her a character, like one of those characters that you dress up in, kind of like Goofy at Disneyland. She should be one of those big mascot things because she's so
To Micah, your earlier point, they're hurting Wong's character. Wong's been one of my favorites over the years because he's had just such a small and supporting role. But as a Sorcerer Supreme, really? This is what we're getting from the Sorcerer Supreme? I mean, you go back to when we were first introduced to Doctor Strange. That was a Sorcerer Supreme. But well, that was another roller coaster of a show. Tune in next week for an all-new Nerd Show. We'll be missing Scott. Mike and I were going to try to hold down the fort the best that we can. But give us a like, follow us, and Nerdians, you stay nerdy.